Hello, podcasters. Welcome to a new week. It is Monday. It's the week. I'm having a real Monday today. I can't string sentences together.
Would you meet a talk?
No.
Well, at least you're still honest.
Look, it was a big weekend. I went to Movie World with the kids.
Huge.
So that was nice. Just had a little family getaway. How are you? You're good. You look good.
I'm good. I've got my hair down today, you might notice, because I have a whopper of a pimple on my neck. I'm 32 and I'm still getting whopper pimples.
This thing is like the size of a small basketball.
I call it Fred, and I feel like it's another head growing out of my neck. I'm going to be like I'm not going to say that.
It's actually interrupting during the show today.
I'm going to be like a Tasmanian. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah. I don't care. enjoy the catch up. Thank you for downloading, everyone. Have a great week. The Hit
Breakfast Show. This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch up.
This is Hit. Smell what the rock is cooking.
Cliffo and Gabby are welcoming Dwayne The Rock Johnson to Queensland in true Sunshine State style.
The Rock has got the championship.
Help build The Rock's box on Hit.
We built The Rock's box. We forgot the box for The Rock's box to welcome The Rock.
Oh my god, you sounded like Dr. Zeus then.
So,
weird poetry was that?
We got some great suggestions for the box part of The Rock's box, but we couldn't make our mind up, so we put it to you across the weekend.
Yeah. Just to reset, like, we got Bob Catter's hat here now.
Oh, we do.
That's going in there.
We finally dropped it in.
Kinori peanuts and going in there.
Got some jerky, Jim's jerky.
Personalised Bundy rum and Bundy ginger beer. Like, it's stacked full of Queensland stuff for The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
We had no actual box to put it into. So we put it to vote across the weekend at our socials. Hit QLD Breakfast. It was a Facebook poll, mainly producer Carly, is that right? It's Facebook, right?
Yeah, so we went to Facebook and you had to do a little reaction.
Ah.
So up for vote was Andrew's box. Andrew makes his own boxes. Mm-hmm. This was Andrew telling us about what he did.
A friend of mine and I have a bit of a side business out of our home where we make furniture and stuff out of reclaimed timber. Then we can get at it with a burner and burn on a whole lot of Queensland stuff on it, like the steak, Bundy rum, whatever.
Okay, so that's what Andrew... Our faces, we were thinking.
Yeah, great idea.
The other box that was up against was Marie's box.
So there are a couple of Queensland lads that developed and designed and produced these boxes in Queensland. They're 55 litres in size. They're completely dustproof and waterproof, so The Rock's Kingaroy peanuts will be kept nice and safe.
Nice. So her box is like a camping box.
Yeah.
Queensland made, baby.
It was pretty much like the look or the security. Mm. Which were we going for? So we put it to vote across the weekend, and the people have spoken.
Yeah. Carly, producer Carly, in the tally room, what have the people demanded when it comes to selection of The Rock's box?
With 62% of the votes, The Rock's box will be the Expedition 134 box.
The camping box.
Marie's box, the camping box.
It's going to be nice and secure. He could even stand on this one, we've been told.
What did Marie say? It's like, let's find out from her.
Yes.
It's dustproof, it's lockable, it's this, it's that, it's everything. Marie, it's your brother-in-law that makes these boxes, is that right?
Yes, it is.
Well, congratulations. Well, your box is the chosen box.
Thank you so much.
You have a lot of fans who have voted for this box.
Well, it just goes to show how good the product is.
Oh. All right.
So it's called salesman through and through.
Expedition 134. And it's a camping box. So the idea is you put all your camping stuff in it and you can throw it on the top of, the back of, wherever, on the four-wheel drive, and it's pretty much lasts, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's pretty much indestructible.
All right.
Oh, challenge accepted.
Tell you what. If anyone could destroy it,
it'd be The Rock.
The Rock ripped his gate off the other day, Marie.
We'll see how he goes.
All right, so your brother-in-law, he's happy. He'll hook us up with one of these bad boys for Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, absolutely. What colour would you like?
Ooh, what colour would he like?
Can we find out what The Rock likes?
Black, grey, olive green, or safety orange.
Let's insta-stalk and find his favourite colour.
Yes.
And we've got a bit more planning to do because I want this box to look good as well. So.
Yeah, sweet.
You're going to have to stickify it.
Yeah,
is that
right.
A word?
No.
It is now.
It is now.
She means put stickers on it.
Right, okay, thank you. Marie, thank you so much for getting involved. We are so happy to have the Expedition 134 confirmed to be our Rock's box. Just fantastic. Thank you, Marie.
Thanks so much.
Oh, I've got a moral dilemma on this Monday, and I would like everyone's help in solving this issue because I think it's something that, you know, people come across in everyday life, and I want to know if I should take the high ground or the low ground when it comes to this. So I got a message on my phone last week from a girl I haven't spoken to in 3 years.
Okay.
She used to be a housemate of mine. She was also my tenant because I owned the house, still own the house. And she wasn't a good one.
So it was your place.
It was my house. I just bought it.
Letting her a room.
I was letting her a room. And you know how you have like super high levels of house pride when you first buy a home. My first home.
Yeah.
So I was very pedantic about it being kept in pristine.
Gabby spent a lot of money at Kmart. There's a lot of throws.
You have no idea.
A lot of vases.
Yes.
You name it.
But it was like a brand new house, perfectly white walls. Like it was just really nice. And so I had very high standards and she only lived with me for 3 months because I came up with an excuse to not let that room anymore. And I've now got this message from her asking me to be a rental reference for her for future rentals.
Snap.
So just three things that come to mind that happened while she was living with me. The first being she locked herself out one day and managed to convince the locksmith without any proof of residence to let her back in. Ooh, dodgy. She left the fridge open one day and all the food went off and she told me it's because the house is on a slant. And that's why the door fell open.
Oh, that's great.
I was like, sure.
That's like an excuse my daughter would give me.
Yeah.
I love it.
And the third one was when she did move out, I found fake tan footprints on the wall.
On the wall?
The white wall. There was these two perfect fake tan footprints, which to this day I have not been able to remove. So they're kind of three things that stick out in my mind from, this is like literally 5 years ago and we haven't spoken in 3 years. So I want to know, this is a choose your own adventure. Do I, one, give a good reference and take the high moral ground?
It's a lie, pretty much.
Well,
it is a lie because I don't think you believe that.
Just leave out the bad stuff, I guess. She paid her rent on time. I could say that.
All right.
Two, do I be honest and give an honest reference?
Yeah.
For her rentals? Or three, do I just ignore the message that she sent me?
Oh.
Choose your own adventure. What do I do? Because I'm honestly stuck on this. I honestly don't know what to do.
It's kind of a conundrum no matter what, isn't it? Like, you've got your work cut out for you here. Because you either have to, you know, tell the truth. Yeah, be honest and mean. That's going to upset her.
Lie.
Not text her back. That's kind of mean as well. Kind of lie.
Which
could affect her future. But I've always been told that really sucks too because you are a property owner. Like, you know, you actually have tenants in that house right now.
I do.
And if you were in this situation being a landlord, you'd hate someone to lie on a reference for you. So
that's very true.
13, 10, 60.
Then the other thing is, it's been 3 years. Maybe she's improved since then. I don't know.
Jamie and Rocky, good morning.
Morning.
What do you reckon, Jamie? What do I do?
I reckon just ignore it because you haven't spoken to her in a few years and she may have got a lot worse since then.
Yeah, before the song you're like, she might have gotten better.
She might have gotten better, she might have gotten worse. Yeah, that's true.
That's a good point, Jamie. If you haven't spoken to someone in 3 years and they all of a sudden reach out, how did she reach out? Was it via text message?
It was Facebook Messenger, which means she can see that I've seen it.
Oh, God.
I can't write that. New phone, who dis? New phone, who dis?
No other interaction in 3 years.
Absolutely none.
Jamie, seems like a clever option. Simon is in Townsville. Morning, Simon.
How you doing?
What do you reckon, Simon? What do I do?
I'm leaning towards moral high ground. I take the standing, this is because I went through a similar situation with my mum where, you know, like someone who's being a rental manager needs to be unbiased. And as I was listening to those situations, about the only one that I think that you could possibly sort of say something bad against is the footprints on the wall.
Yeah, because
I mean, the other
bad
ones, yeah, right, it's a bad person. Yeah, bad person.
Yes.
But not.
Yeah.
Right. She was a bad housemate. Maybe she wasn't a bad tenant. Maybe I need to think of it from a different perspective. No, but the footprints were pretty bad.
Mate, the fake tan footprints on the white walls.
What are you doing? Walking on the wall?
Tanning the bottom of their feet.
And then putting them on a wall.
Going for a walk on the wall. Sue is here. Morning, Sue. How are you going?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, Sue. What do you reckon? What do I do?
Well, I don't know now that I've listened to those two people, but I think, look, I think a mixture of all three. I think that maybe you need to to be mindful. She's probably grown up a little bit since putting footprints on the wall, maybe. She paid her rent on time. That's a fairly good indication that she's got some sort of morals.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know, Gabby. I think you need to look at all three. And you know honesty is always a good policy.
Sue, I've just thought of a new phoner. Queensland, how do you think she got the footprints on the wall? What was going on?
This Wednesday starts National Op Shop Week for 2020, which, Cliffo, you're so excited for. And it's just about giving back to those communities where you either donate clothes to the op shop, you buy clothes or items from the op shop, or you volunteer your time.
I'm a mad op shopper. You cannot walk past an op shop without walking in. I come from a long line of op shoppers.
Mm-hmm.
My mother has a rule. If you're ever at an op shop, this is a good rule to live life by. You see Tupperware.
Buy it.
Because Tupperware has a lifetime warranty. You don't need the paperwork.
Even if it's cracked, buy it. And then return it.
I mean, that's a great op shop rule. But we thought to get more op shop rules on the air and just some hints and tips when it comes to op shopping. Because I think deep down, everyone loves the idea of repurposing.
Oh,
you know?
Totally.
We've got John D on. We caught up with John D. He's the founder of National Op Shop Week for more of his op shopping tips.
Oh, look, you know, one of the greatest things about op shops is actually just going in and having a look. You know, because how many times you go in and you might think, well, I want to get a jacket, and then you come away with something totally different you come across, like a great piece of old vinyl or something like that. But I find that I often go in and get a jacket that may not be quite right because it might have that 1970s look to it. But then I've got a friend of mine who actually, then I can go to my friend and say, can you just bring in those lapels a little bit and can you do this up a bit? And so you get the jacket, you know, really high quality jacket, and then you can get it changed. And so that's something to consider. You can, you know, mess around with clothing.
It's so good. I've been into op shops on multiple occasions and even found designer clothes at like a tenth of the cost, which is such a good way to upcycle rather than clothes going to landfill. But I even got like glow mesh purse last time I was there, Cliffo.
Did you?
Yeah,
look, there's so many great bargains you can get. I actually have got some amazing jackets. I always love going here and getting jackets myself.
You're a jacket guy, John, aren't you?
Yeah, and they'll actually just say, you know, it's $10, and I'll just go, well, at least take 25, you know, because, you know, I'm doing okay in my life, and, you know, and that's more money going to frontline services, and I like to try and maximize the fundraising side they're doing. But the one thing a lot of people don't know is that when you do donate really high-quality clothes to a charity op shop, sometimes those clothes can get given away free to families in need.
And you know
wins
what?
Wins on every front.
Yeah, there's so many ways, but I mean, the easiest way is to have a clean out and donate, or just like you say, just go to an op shop and buy something, because it is such a fantastic week. And get on board. It actually starts this Wednesday, so it runs Wednesday to Wednesday. You can find out more at the page dosomethingnearyou.com.au. John D, the founder of National Op Shop Week. I love it. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
This is Hacky Gabby on Hit.
No one loves a hack.
No.
Like an online hack more than Hacky Gabby.
That's so true.
It's
because hacks are for the lazy person. They make life easier in all different ways, shapes, and forms.
I think you're going to say something really philosophical there. Yeah. Like, hacks are the lazy person's oxygen or something.
Well, thank you. I'm going to steal that prolific next statement. Time. I'm going to steal that statement for next time. It's true. Hacks are for the lazy gal. And that's why I'm all over them, because I love a good hack to make life simpler. And I figured one out over the weekend, Cliffo, because I read it.
Did you figure one out?
Yeah, okay.
Online. There we go.
So
it's popped up on Facebook. And you've gone, hey, that'll feel 6:10 on Monday's show.
I did give it a go, though. So you know how when you put your carrots in the crisper, after a few days, they go a bit limp.
So limp.
They're like
so
soft.
So quick.
And bendy and real limp. Well, here's your hack for your Monday morning. Stick your carrot in a glass of water and it'll firm right back up. So supposedly, when your carrot's in the crisper, it dehydrates and that's what makes it go really limp. So if you rehydrate it, then it'll go back to its normal form. The only thing is, you can't peel it first because it's the tiny little hairs on the outside. Well, I think they're like roots, but the tiny little hairs on the outside of the carrot that draws in the moisture to make it firm again. And no, this will not work on anything else that's limp. Just putting it there.
It's no secret, Gabby. Australia has gone ushi mad.
Oh, my goodness.
To the point where Woolies has had to kill off ushis.
Yeah.
What did we say? Like four weeks?
4 weeks early.
Early.
Because it's just gone crazy. My friend who's a manager at Woolies told me the other day she's just being abused left, right, and center for the Ooshie shortage of 2020.
If you're abusing a shop assistant because you can't get your little plastic Ooshie.
Yeah.
If you're doing that in front of your kids.
Look
whatever,
at your life.
We're going to have a little look at our life here. But I saw a few people that probably have to do that same thing. Like, have a look at their life over the weekends. Because I don't know if you've noticed at Woolies, but they've had Ooshie recycling bins. These cardboard recycling bins where on one side you can put the Ooshie packets.
Yes, because it's like paper.
Because it's like paper this time around to be recycled. And on the other side, on the left-hand side, you can put your actual Ooshies.
They're probably just going to make more Ooshies for the next run.
They're just plastic, I guess, too. So
yeah,
they
melt
can be
them down.
Recycled. But the Woolies I was at had a hand-drawn sign on the side where you recycle your Ooshies. It said, please, do not put your hand in the Ooshie recycle bin. And because it was just this kind of like plasticky cardboard the bin was made out of, you could see it was all ripped up the top. So clearly people have been
just shoving their hand in.
So anyway, I'm at the shops with my wife who's doing a bit of shopping and she was fluffing about doing her thing. So I had kids. I'm sitting out in front of Woolies. And I kid you not, in less than a 10-minute period, I saw three people put their hands in the bin.
Why am I not shocked?
Looking for the Ooshies. You know what shocked me, though?
What?
Out of the three people, one of them was a kid.
Oh.
The other two were mothers with kids.
Set a good example.
Set that great example.
The all-new Monty finished up last night on Channel 7. It was the girls' turn to perform last night.
We had Shannon Ponton on.
We did.
From The Biggest Loser, one of the guys. So get that. Chat at the catch-up, hit.com.au.
Yeah, it was part
of
the guys' performance.
Yeah.
But last night it was all about the girls, and it was all about raising awareness for breast cancer and doing your breast checks, which is what, you know, they're trying to get everyone to learn from, to do these breast checks every month, which I've totally taken on board. However, I learned something else from the episode last night. Something Georgie Parker said really resonated with me, because some of the girls were really finding it hard to find they're sexy. Like they're
Who
trying
else was
to...
on it?
So there was Ash Pollard, there was Patty Newton, there was
Georgie Parker was one of the ringleaders.
She's the
of
host.
The girls. So, yeah,
yes.
Right. Yeah.
And there was and Miss Australia was on there, Sam Frost. She was gorgeous. There was a fair few. Fiona O'Loughlin, So they were all trying to find their sexy and they're doing burlesque and stuff, and they were struggling. And then Georgie Parker said this.
I think a lot of the time women think that sexy is for sexy being for the sake of men rather than them feeling good about themselves. And so I'd like to reframe it for them so that they can claim ownership of feeling sexy on stage and feeling like they can share that with the audience but be in control of it.
I loved that. I heard it and I was like, oh my God, she's so true. Like back in the day in your 20s, you go out to the clubs and you feel sexy because of the reactions you're getting from other people. So you feel sexy because of outward kind of emotions, like other people reacting to you. But it's not the way. Like you get older, you stop going to clubs and you're like, oh, I'm not sexy anymore. But you are, and you've got to reclaim that. And if Patty Newton can do it, so can you.
I love that. And I love that you've shared that. And I love that Georgie Parker said that. Like, as the father of a six-year-old daughter, and my daughter is only, she's like six and a half. But I know she's going to be that age one day. And as a father, that frightens the hell out of me. Because I think we put a, not only does
we put too much
on the dad, but I think young women in particular
put too much onus on other people's opinions.
They put too much onus on themselves. And you're right. Sexy shouldn't be for other people, you know,
and
what
not even just sexy, but your confidence and just self-love. So yeah, it should be for you. It should come from you. It shouldn't rely on other people's judgment.
Good on you, yeah.
And get out there and get your buzzies out, but do it legally.
Good on you, Georgie Parker, and good on you, Patty Newton, as well. I mean, she's the real MVP.
You know it,
right there.
She was amazing.
How good's Movie World? Have you been to Movie World before?
The best.
Okay. So things at Movie World have changed a little bit, and things that you wouldn't think that are impacted by COVID-19 certainly are. One that grabbed me, because I went there, just a little family getaway on the weekends, was trying to pose for a photo with Superman.
Yeah.
So me and my daughter are there. We go up to pose with Superman. Faster than a speeding bullet, can cut through buildings with his eyesight, Gabby. He can fly. He's Superman, right?
He can jump buildings.
And seriously, I'm walking up to stand next to Superman for a photo, and there's a kid in front of him, like the escort kid, and he goes, too close. You have to stay 1.5 meters away from Superman.
Well, like, it's
Superman,
social distancing.
But it's Superman.
COVID can get everyone.
Turns out two things can kill Superman. Kryptonite And COVID-19.
Well, there you go. Anyway, you learn something new every day.
We're still 1.5 metres away. Got the most awkward photo ever.
COVID has calmed down a fair bit in Queensland. We are the lucky state at this point in time, I reckon. But it's still around and we still want to talk about the future of the health system. So we got the most trusted doctor we could find to join us for a chat. Our favourite doctor, Dr. Andrew Rochford. Welcome.
Wow. Okay, you've set the bar quite high there. I'll go with trusted, but the most trusted? I mean, you're...
There's a
lot of pressure on this interview now.
I'm not going to lie, Rochi, I love you, but when she said that, my eyes rolled so far back.
I'm just trying to butter you up.
You know what? I'm not going to say I don't like it.
It's a lot to live up to.
Dr. Andrew Rochi, what a massive year it's been for you. One of the big moments I remember seeing you, because you're on TV all the time, but one of the big moments I remember from the project is you after working a long shift, at the hospital you're at, and you just had, you look great on TV, but you didn't look great. You look totally drained. You had, literally almost like cuts in your skin where the mask was like cutting in. And this has been an epic year for people who work in healthcare, mate.
It's been completely unexpected. I mean, that's an understatement. And I think for all of us, it's been extremely weird, trying to get to this whole idea of, we've seen the movies, we've seen Outbreak, we've seen Contagion, and we thought it was all theoretical. But to be in the midst of a pandemic that has shut countries down, that has changed the way we do healthcare, I think we're still kind of coming to terms with it. We've been very lucky in Australia, and I'm in Sydney, you guys up north. I think where we can, admit to the fact we're a lot luckier than some of our southern friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was very weird for a while there when we didn't know what was going to happen. We have a better understanding of it now, but that first period was very nervous.
It was scary.
It was so scary. And as you said, the healthcare system has had to adapt to kind of keep up with what this pandemic has done. And digital health has been something that's kind of come into play that we've never really thought about before. Telehealth and e-prescriptions. Is that going to continue past this? Is this the way of the future now?
Yeah. And I think that the interesting thing about digital health is that everyone's like, but I need to see my doctor. I need to do that face-to-face. The doctor needs to put their hands on me and figure out what's going wrong. And that is true. Digital health is not to replace that cornerstone of healthcare. What it does is it slots itself into this space where we've been doing something that we don't really need to do, which is be there with each other, whether it's, just getting a repeat on a prescription that you might have for an ongoing. I mean, the oral contraceptive pill is a great example of medical resources being used when there's an efficient way to do it. And I think for us as healthcare workers, we like the idea of not necessarily being exposed when we don't need to when it comes to the virus, but also this means we can use our time better. And if we use our time better, there's more of us to be able to help people who really need us and get people on with their life.
Yeah. I just don't like leaving the house, to be honest, Rochi.
You can do your doctor's appointment in your boxes.
I love that. It's really great.
Well, I mean, that's how I do my appointments. The problem is I do that. This is random, generally, not even telehealth. Yeah. You get some funny looks.
Come on in. Take a seat.
Oh, so this isn't a telehealth consultation.
Oh, right. Give me a sec. Oh, pants. Damn it. All right. Find out more. It's a really great read online, digitalhealth.gov.au. We love having this guy on the show anytime talking about anything. Dr. Andrew Rochford. Thank you so much, Rochi.
Pleasure. Brilliant, guys. Have a good day.
The beautiful Demi Lovato is in the news. Baby, but how's this for a headline, Gabs? Demi Lovato's now ex says he learnt about their split via tabloids.
And they were engaged.
They were engaged.
They only got engaged a couple of weeks ago. It wasn't that long ago that she was celebrating that.
It's been a pretty whirlwind kind of thing, huh?
It's a huge ring.
His name's Max Enrich.
Max Enrich.
He's an actor. I went on his Wikipedia page. The biggest thing I could see on it was High School Musical 3.
I'm surprised he has a Wikipedia page.
He has a Wikipedia page. So he has apparently, according to him, because he has posted this on his own social media channels. Mm-hmm. This is him verbatim, right? Imagine finding out about the status of your relationship through a tabloid.
Oh.
So they are now They are now split. That's what he has put out there. And it did remind me of a very, very good friend of mine who a few years after high school, for the latter years of high school and for a year or two after high school, he was dating a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And after 3 years together, yeah, she broke up with him via MSN Messenger.
That's so yeah, 90s, like, isn't it?
It was late 90s, early noughties. So MSN late 90s.
MSN Messenger.
But after 3 years, like, they were serious, you know, and it sort of reminded me of this, you know, being find out that you're now single or whatever through tabloid magazines.
Yeah.
131060 is our phone number. I want to put it out there. Brutal breakups.
Yeah.
Give us a call. Have you been involved in a breakup where the person didn't have the decency to do it face to face?
Or maybe up via text a few times.
Okay, so I'm happy now too to not be judgy. Let's make this a judgment free zone, because maybe, you know, the ball's in the other court and you like that. Maybe you're the one who has done the breaking up. Because I believe here, this is the only time I'll be a bit preachy. The only way to break up with someone is face to face.
What if you've only been on a couple of dates? Oh, that's fine. Okay, well then I'm good.
Particularly like your dates before you met Nev.
Like, yeah, Tinder, like dates. Tinder dates. Like Tinder dates, two to three, and you're like, oh, not my kind of guy.
But my mate, 3 years.
3 years.
So 131060, we're doing brutal breakups. Have you been broken up, but not face-to-face? Because really, it's you got to do it, don't you?
Yeah, face-to-face is the way to go.
You don't with your Tinder dates back
Well,
in
yeah,
the
that
day,
was just a couple of dates, though, so it was at least I didn't ghost.
Anything serious, though. 131060, if someone has broken up with you other than face-to-face. Jamie in Toowoomba, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Tell us your story, Jamie. It wasn't face-to-face with you?
It definitely was not. I had my lovely ex break up with me via his mother.
Oh, no! How did that work?
Well, he didn't have the spine, I'm guessing, to be able to tell me whilst I was 8 months pregnant.
Oh,
my God.
That he didn't want to be in a relationship anymore and didn't want to go ahead with everything. So he got his mother to send me a text to call her.
Oh, wow, this is getting
And rough. So I called her, and she was like, yeah, I don't think this is for him. And I was like, okay.
All right.
Wow, well, if he's going to go about it that way, I don't think he's for me either.
There's, you know what? There's mama's boys, then there's that.
Wow.
Get that hit feeling with Cliffo and Gabby. Call anytime, 131060.